John chapter 5, and we would like to continue with this unique person that we have been reading about in connection with his first point, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose that there is no other truth concerning our Lord that is attacked by Satan and denied by man more than the deity of Christ. And some tell us that there is really no scripture to back up such a teaching as that. And some tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ never made any claim to deity. Well, in chapter 5 and verse 17, now of course we've already had it referred to in chapter 1, the Word was God. Chapter 5 and verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The Jews who heard the Lord Jesus Christ, when he asserted his sonship, and as we have been hearing, the only begotten of the Father, they accepted the fact that he was asserting and laying claim to deity, because that's exactly what they said here, making himself equal with God. Now turn to chapter 10, John chapter 10. And verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now here it's a little stronger. In chapter 5, it was, makest thyself equal with God. But in this verse, maketh thyself God. Now turn to the book of Colossians, and we're going to begin a little study in the time that we have concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and a few scriptures that bring that out. Now some people can't find any scripture to prove his deity, but there are far more scriptures that proves his deity than 30 minutes we'd ever be able to cram into any 30 minutes of speaking. But we're going to look at a few, clearest ones that we can find. Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. Now we just read on into there, because that word firstborn is often used by people who deny his deity to prove that he was only a creature and the firstborn of all created things. But the very next verse explains what it means there. For by him were all things created. He is not the firstborn because he is the first in order of creation. He is the firstborn, and here it means he is preeminent over all the creation because he is the creator. Not a created being, but the creator of all things. But what we want to notice is in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God? Now there were people in the days in which these scriptures were written who denied the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, but they did believe that deity emanated from God, various spirits, the spirit of Christ, for instance, and took possession of man and then departed from man. For instance, they taught that the Lord Jesus Christ became Christ at his baptism. That the Spirit of Christ was an emanation from God, an emanation of deity, that took control of Christ at his baptism and then left him at his death. Well, of course, the scriptures are so plain they hardly need to be commented on. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. When was that? At his baptism? No, at his birth. And then we turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and it says, Christ died for our sins. And then, now is Christ risen from the dead. Did that spirit of Christ leave him when he died? No. You cannot separate the Christ, the spirit of Christ, from Christ himself. Christ was born, Christ died, Christ arose, and he's coming again. But we have in verse 19 of this first chapter, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 9 of chapter 2. For in him dwelleth. On both of these verses we have that word dwell and dwelleth. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not simply an emanation of deity going out from God, but all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this word was a word that was commonly used to mean deity in absolute perfection. And that's exactly what he was. The Lord Jesus Christ was deity, and deity in absolute perfection. But then the word dwelleth means permanency. He wasn't deity for a little while and then ceased to be. He was deity in absolute perfection permanently. And so you see, the Spirit of God answers the arguments of those sinful men who would degrade Christ by bringing him down upon the level of a man. But now, who is the image of the invisible God? Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Now this word image is translated himself in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace himself. We know that in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, and especially what we have set forth in Hebrews, the tabernacle, the priesthood, and the sacrifices, they were all typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were types of Christ, but they were not the very image of Christ. They were not Christ himself. They were simply symbols and types of Christ. Now that's in contrast to what we have in chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Who being, that is Christ, the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. Not the very image, the types, they were all pictures of Christ, but they weren't the very image, they weren't Christ himself. But when it comes to God, when it comes to deity, the Lord Jesus is the very image, the express image, the expression of his substance, is the way J.N. Darby puts that. And that's exactly right, too. The Lord Jesus Christ was the very essence of deity. He was the express image. He was the expression of his substance. And in Philippians 2, then in verse 6, it says, who being? He was. He is, he always will be. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And that was in the verse we started with. Maketh thyself equal with God. Why, the Lord Jesus didn't have to make himself equal with God. Who being in the form of God, he always was God. And being God, he didn't have to seek something that he did not have and had no right to. He thought it not robbery. He wasn't taking upon himself something unlawfully. Why? Because he already was. And he is and he continues to be. And so these plain statements concerning the deity of Christ would be clear enough for any person who really knows Christ as a Savior. But look again at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And we've just been reading that in Colossians 2. And all things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. And in John 1, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Not one thing. Now, what do we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 about the Creator? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And here it says, by whom also he made the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And then all things were made by him. And so you see, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Who was God that created the heavens and the earth? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is God the Creator. And he is eternal in his being. Turn to Micah chapter 5. Keep your place here in Hebrews and turn to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, I think it is. Micah 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now my margin says, from the days of eternity. Is that what yours says? His goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, from the days of eternity. And in Isaiah 26, he's called the Rock of Ages. That verse from which the hymn was written, upon which it's based. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. And the Lord Jesus is from the days of eternity. Now turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Our brother referred to this a while ago. He didn't comment much on it. Isaiah 9, or someone did, verse 6. Now, of course, we shouldn't read this except at Christmas time, should we? This is a Christmas passage. Unto us a child is born. That's Bethlehem. Nobody denies that. My, they all like to quote this part of this verse at Christmas time. Unto us a child is born, but it goes on to say, unto us a son is given, for God so loved the world that he gave, that's Calvary, a child born, a son given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And again, we go to the margin to get a little clearer statement. The Father of Eternity. His going forth have been from the days of eternity, and this one here, of whom it is said, unto us a child is born. In the very same verse, he's the Father of eternity. He had no beginning. Now turn back to Hebrews. Keep your place here too if you want. We're coming back. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand, and they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. Why, we heard that this morning several times, didn't we? The same yesterday, today, and forever. But this is in contrast with the temporalness of the creation that he created in comparison with the eternalness of the Creator. They shall wax old. They shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. What is that? Well, just as he had no beginning, he'll have no end. He's the Father of eternity. His goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And when all the creation that he's created waxes old and is changed, he remains, his years shall not fail. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Now look again at John chapter 12. I hope you kept your finger in Isaiah. John 12 and verse 41. These things saith Isaiah, that's Isaiah, of course, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Now there's a lifting up referred to here that's not Paul's though in so many words. Back in the middle of the chapter, we have the Lord Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, thus signifying what death he should die. That's not his exaltation. That's a reference to his crucifixion. I, if I be lifted up. But here is a reference to his glory. And it's the glory that he himself refers to in John 17 when he says, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Isaiah saw his glory and spake of him. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Now remember, these things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory. And here's where Isaiah saw his glory. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. In John 12, 32, he's talking, and 31 and 32, he's talking about the cross. I, if I be lifted up. But here, it's speaking of his glory. And Isaiah saw him high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Who is this on the throne? He's the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm going to read again in verse 6 of chapter 9. We're going to come right back here. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Now, a while ago, we were speaking of the Father of Eternity. But the one who was the babe born, the son given, upon whose shoulder shall the government be, is called the Mighty God. And here, he is called the Lord of hosts, and he's on the throne. And the whole earth is full of his glory. When Isaiah saw his glory and spake of him, here he is, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, in an eternity past, high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. And Isaiah saw his glory, and he spake of him, and he says, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. That's the glory that he veiled in human flesh. That's referred to in Philippians 2. He humbled himself. He veiled that infinite glory in a human body, so to speak. And he came down here. He took upon him the form of a servant. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But here he is, high and lifted up. And what is he called? The Lord of hosts, the mighty God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in this same book of Isaiah, three times, he refers to himself as being the first and the last. I think we'll read one of them at least. Chapter 44. Isaiah 44. And verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. What did he say? I am the first, and I am the last. Where do you find those verses in the New Testament? At least three times in the book of the Revelation. I am the first and the last, Alpha and Omega, in chapter 1 and verse 8 and verse 17 in the first chapter in Revelation anyhow. I am the first and the last, and here it says, I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no God. Who is the first and the last? God is the first and the last. And beside him there is no God. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the first and the last. Did he claim deity? May I tell you, he was using some extravagant language if he weren't God, wasn't he? If he had not been God, he would have been guilty of blasphemy. But he was and is God. And those who deny his deity are guilty of blasphemy. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at chapter 43 while we're right here. Verse 11. But before we read that, you remember there's a verse in Luke chapter 2 announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you is born a Savior. Look what this verse says. I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. Well, then if the Lord Jesus Christ were not the Lord of hosts, the mighty God, how could he be born a Savior when beside God there is no Savior? And so here's further proof of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now we're going to have to close. Turn to John. John's Gospel, chapter 19. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, I was over taking a little rest when you had your discussion today. See, I'm a little bit on the lazy side, and I was afraid I'd get too tired, so I didn't come to the discussion, but I gather that from what you said, you were discussing the first day of the week. And here we have a reference to it. No doubt you already looked at that at noon or during the discussion. On the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. And of course, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. That's just like the remembrance feast, isn't it? On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. The disciples, the first day of the week, the disciples were assembled, came Jesus, stood in the midst, showed them his hand and his side. Well, that was on the first day of the week. But Thomas wasn't there. So when we go down to verse 26, it says, and after 8 days again, and according to some who are authorities on the matter, of course I'm not, but they say that this after 8 days is, according to Jewish reckoning, another first day of the week. It was on the next first day of the week. And the disciples were gathered together again on the first day of the week. Came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and God. And this word is a word that was commonly used in connection with both Jehovah and Elohim. And when Thomas said, my God, he meant exactly what he said. My God. And did the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke him for that? And then we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was worshipped over and over again. At his birth, or rather when he was in the house, and those wise men came from the east, you remember, that they opened unto him their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts. What was that in connection with? They worshiped him. As a child, they worshiped Christ. And they worshiped him in his life. And they worshiped him in his resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ said himself to Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And Thomas here said, my Lord and my God. The same expression. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. So the Lord Jesus received worship. He accepted the divine designation, my God. And all through the scripture, we have ample proof of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are just a few that we gather together, and it's sufficient even if that is.